Good. My name is Darren. Welcome. If you're joining us online, thanks for joining us here as well. Great to see guests and family, friends, and all of that stuff. Great to have you here. We're going to open God's Word together. And in fact, would you do me a favor? Actually, let me give you this in just a moment when we straighten out the screen. Let me pray for us. God, as we open your Word, would you open our hearts? Spirit of God, speak to us and show us more of yourself, we pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, usually I give you a passage. Today, please use the Bibles that are right around you. Don't use your phone, because this is only going to work if we do this. So open to page 910. Page 910 in the Bibles. You may struggle to find the actual number, because it's, what do you have? It's a blank page. Page 910. Is a blank page in the Bible there between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Have a look. Now, there's a lot happening in these two parts of this book, and right here on this page, we're at an in-between. We're at the place where the Old Testament has wrapped up, the New Testament is about to kick off, and when it comes to spirituality, there are two kinds of people, probably more than two kinds of people, but two I'm going to name here this morning. The first is there's the spiritual people who love the idea of God. Some people are just hungry for God. They know there's a higher power in the universe. Maybe they're not sure who God is or what he's like, but they know that he's out there somewhere. And we humans, we are spiritual beings, aren't we? We're sort of hardwired to know that something out there is bigger, and that we're missing something by not being connected to a higher power. We humans are spiritual beings. And so we seek God in many ways. We seek God, and maybe we find just enough spirituality to stop and the search right there. When these people pray, they're very comfortable praying to God. They may say they have a faith, but they believe in a cosmic sense of the supernatural. They may even be a part of a religious community that claims to know the one true God, whatever that God is called. So these are the spiritual people who may be just fine with the God of the Old Testament, but aren't so sure about the Jesus stuff. And then on the other hand, we will call the other group the only Jesus people. And some have discovered that Jesus in the New Testament, they're in love with him, that he does this amazing stuff. He's a miracle worker. He's a great teacher. He's wise. He's a friend of the outcasts. And he's just an all-around great guy. This Jesus. Many humans over the years have decided that Jesus, you know, Jesus, he's all right. Very few would call him God, and even few would call him a savior. Jesus is likable enough, but the God of the Old Testament seems demanding, seems distant, seems controlling or harsh. These kinds of people love to linger in the New Testament. And they love the stories of Jesus, but they have a harder time with some of the God stories of the Old Testament. So pause for just a moment right here. Perhaps you know people that are like these two examples that I've given. The spiritual ones who are into the God stuff, but who don't really care for Jesus. And maybe the only Jesus ones who don't really understand the God of the Old Testament. So they just want to rush right through that part of the Bible to get to the Jesus stuff. And maybe you can relate to one of those yourself today. Well, what does the Bible have to say about both groups, to both groups? And what do we do with this blank page between the two ways of seeing God? Are these two completely different stories, or are they connected? That's the question that we're exploring. Well, the Bible itself has a lot to say about this, even though page 910 is blank. The Bible can help us make sense of the two halves of the story that it contains. So here's an example. With that Bible open in front of you, flip over to page 1136. It's Hebrews chapter 1. So 1136 in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 1. We'll do a little bit of flipping around today, and that's okay because we're fanning ourselves with the cool, refreshing breeze of the Bible's pages on a hot Sunday morning. Hebrews 1, page 1136. You there? In the past, as in the first half of the story of the Bible, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. That's a whole lot of what the Old Testament is. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, that is Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. Got that? So in the past, God spoke in this way. Now he speaks to us through Jesus, who was there in creation, making all things. Now here's what this says about Jesus himself. Do you see that in verse 3? The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. What does it mean for Jesus to be the radiance of God's glory? One way to say it would be that if God were gold, Jesus would be the glittering gold of God himself. But maybe there's a better way to say it during an endless heat wave, and that is if God were the sun, Jesus would be the radiance of the sun's visible and invisible rays all around us. And then there's this second phrase, Jesus is the exact representation of God's being, meaning Jesus is a perfect representation of God himself, like those logos for the companies that we looked at earlier. Here's the thing, the Bible in your hands is all one story from beginning to end. And it's the same God. He's there at the beginning when all things are created, and he's there at the end of all time. And Jesus is right there in the story, too, through it all. In fact, let's look at how the Gospel of John begins in chapter 1. I won't have you turn there. It's on the screen. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. We sing it in a song that we sing here frequently, what a beautiful name it is. That song begins with this. You were the word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High, your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, Lord Christ. That's it. The word at the beginning, one with God, hidden, but now revealed in Jesus. That's what Christians believe. We're not just spiritual people who like a bit of God stuff to keep us satisfied. And we're not only Jesus people who think, well, God used to have an attitude problem, but he's changed his ways, and Jesus is really version 2.0. That's not what Christians believe. So today we're beginning a new series looking at what God is like. We're looking at things like God's holiness, his goodness, his justice, his compassion, his wisdom, and his love. And the way that we're going to do that is by looking at Jesus the Son. In this series, we're going to try and rip page 910 out of the Bible in our Bible study. Don't do it literally. It's a metaphor. But we're going to try and remove those pages separating the two testaments. So whether you're a person who's comfortable with God but not fully convinced about Jesus, or whether you're a Jesus-only person who can't really appreciate what's happening in the Old Testament, we're going to look at both. And we're going to draw some arrows from Jesus back to God and from God back to Jesus. Sound good? Are you with me? All right. Now let me speak to why we're doing this. And this is the heart of it. Our vision at the Good Shepherd Mission is to love Jesus, to love our neighbors, and to see lives transformed. And so it all starts with loving Jesus for who he really is. So friends, can we say today that we fully are in love with Jesus? Can we say that he is our first love, our number one priority in life? I don't know about you, but I get busy, I get distracted, I get subtly sort of wooed into finding other loves, false loves. But I want him to be my number one priority over everything else. And that is the goal of all of this. That's the goal of this series, knowing and loving Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And really, that's at the heart of our push for growing together this year. If you look at our discipleship stuff, the heart of that, the desire of that is that we would grow more and more in love with Jesus and that we would understand who God is because of that love. Are you with me? Let's jump in together. All right, Jesus talked about his relationship with God the Father in John 14. And you can turn with me there to page 1022. John 14, 1022. Let me set this up for just a little bit. One day, towards the end of his life on earth, Jesus is hanging out with his disciples, probably over a meal. And guys like Thomas and Philip were asking him questions, and Jesus says this. Pick up in verse 7. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is pointing out the difference between getting to know him by spending time with him and truly recognizing him for who he is. If you know me, Jesus says, you know what God is like too. See, Thomas and Philip, these guys that have been hanging out with Jesus, they've shared meals together, they've traveled together, they've ministered together, they've spent time. They were some of Jesus' closest people, and yet Jesus still has to explain himself because they can't see him for who he really is, the exact representation of God himself. I wonder if we're ever like that too. One commentator writes it like this: as highly as they think of Jesus, they do not yet grasp that in Jesus, God has made himself known. To the extent that this is still beyond them, they do not know Jesus himself very well. Let me ask you this: how long does it take you to truly get to know someone, to understand what they're like? Does it take a few months, a few years, a lifetime? These guys have been with Jesus for maybe a couple of years tops. Was that enough? And then Philip, one of these guys, he tries to take a shortcut. Look at verse 8. Philip said, Lord, just show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Another version of this is Philip saying, just show us the Father and that will be all we need. Now, to be fair here, Philip is expressing this ultimate desire that many of us have, humans have, to see and to know something bigger than ourselves. But this answer is right in front of him in Jesus, and Philip wants to take a shortcut. He's got a better idea of how to get there. Now, does that sound familiar, a better idea? Do you ever do that with God? Get in your head that one thing, your bright idea of what he could do to make everything in your life better. If he could just do this one thing, that would be it. That would be all I need, Lord. Just show me what plans you have for my life. That's all I need. Maybe tell me who I'm going to marry. That's all I need. Maybe help me get this job that I really want. That's it. That's all I'll ever need. Just, I won't ask you for anything else again. God, take care of my kids. Just that one thing. Then I'll be happy. Do we ever do that? We don't know why Philip says it, but perhaps he finds following Jesus hard work. And so he just wants to cut to the chase. Jesus, just show us the Father and that'll do it. Now Jesus answers in verse 9. And I can just hear the hurt in Jesus' voice as he responds to Philip. Don't you know me, Philip? Don't you know me? Even after I've been among you such a long time. Now try this sometime, if you like. Replace Philip's name with your own. And imagine what that must have sounded like. To hear Jesus say, don't you know me, Darren, after such a long time? Don't you know me, Mike? Don't you know me, Jackie? Further down in verse 9, Jesus says, how could you say that? How can you ask that? And then here's the line from Jesus that absolutely stops us in our tracks. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That is a stunning claim. If you see me, you see what God is like. So a commentator from North America, Gary Burge, he writes it like this. It's a quote. Maybe it's not up here. There it is. We'll go back to the lines. In seeing Jesus, Philip is seeing God. This is one of the high points of John's Christology. He writes, Jesus is not simply a religious teacher or a guide, nor is he simply the means to some other destination. He is also the end. He's the goal. He is the one in whom God can be found. Now, this is when the phrase comes to mind, he's a chip off the old block. You could probably think of others. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He's a spitting image of his father. He's cut from the same cloth. Anyone know a son-father combination that look very, very alike? Maybe you do in your own family. It's always worth taking a look at a couple of celebrities and their sons to remind us that sons and fathers do sometimes look very similar. Anyone recognize Tom Hanks and his son Colin Hanks? What about this one? Ice Cube, not his real name, and his son O'Shea Jackson Jr. I was thinking, what's the junior version of Ice Cube, but couldn't come up with the joke. How about this one? You guys know these? Eugene Levy and Dan Levy. Pretty close lookalikes. But there's more going on here than just some similarities in facial structure. Jesus is telling us, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. Not just a lookalike, but the face of God himself. And we sing it at Christmas time, don't we, in the carols. Do you recognize it? Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Jesus goes on to say, if you don't believe what I'm saying, look at the words that I speak. Look at the things that I do. Look in your Bibles there with me at verse 10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Earlier in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 30, it's up on the screen here. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. And here in John 14, he's saying, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. So to Philip, he's saying, you don't need me to show you something else. Take a good, long look at me. Listen to my words, Philip. Look at what I'm doing. And by the way, just up here on the screen, let me just say, there will be people who may try to convince you that Jesus never claimed to be God. I'm giving you a 6-word Bible memory verse that's an answer to that. Jesus says in 10:30, I and the Father are one. One commentator says it this way, it's on the slide here, the way Jesus made known the character and reality of the Father was by his word and works. The truth of God filled Jesus' words, the power of God produced his works. And another one from a book that's a pretty good book called Like Father, Like Son from Tom Smale. It is impossible to make any sense of the Jesus of the Gospels if we treat him as a solitary individual whose significance is in himself. From first to last, from the very beginning to the very end, Jesus is who he is and does what he does entirely on the basis of his relationship to the Father. So let me give you an example just quickly of how we read the Old Testament and we see Jesus in the New Testament doing the same thing, okay, from the book of Joshua on the screen here. God's saying to his people, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9, Old Testament. And then from the Gospel of Matthew, the Great Commission, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. You see the link? God of the Old Testament, go into the land that I give you and I will be with you. Jesus in the New Testament, go into all the nations and make disciples and don't be afraid, for I am with you always. Trust me, once you start to read your Bible this way, the whole story comes alive. We understand God the Father for who he is. We fall more in love with the person of Jesus. We understand our place in the unfolding story. And I'm sure as this series proceeds, one thing you'll see each week is that every aspect of how Jesus shows us what God is like, in every aspect of that, there's no greater moment than the one that's on display on the cross itself. As Jesus the Son gives up his life, he shows the heart of a holy and loving God who hates sin and longs to win his people back to himself. So when you think about the cross, remember the words that we've looked at today. Jesus says, "It is the Father living in me who is doing his work." All right, for us, what do we do? What do we do with all this? At the heart of it, this series, we want to know and love God the Father by getting to know Jesus more. And so what does this look like for you? Whether you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, or if you're brand new to all of this, what step do you need to take to get to know Jesus more? I've got a couple of things just up here on the slide. One is maybe consider reading through the Old Testament. Give it a try. You can do that in a Bible app with simple plans that'll get you through in a long period of time if you need a year or more, a short period of time if you need less. Read through the Old Testament. Maybe with others, kind of helps to do that. Another one is just a great book that I recommend called Knowing Jesus Through the Old Testament by Christopher Wright. Really points out a lot of these themes. And then another one just on the attributes of God, who God is. The Attributes of God by A.W. Tozer. Now look, this isn't about reading books. Some of you are already like, why is it a list of books? I want you to hear the heart here. It's not about reading books or getting more into your brain. It's about going deeper and knowing and loving God. I really want you to hear that. Remember the words of Jesus to his disciples. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. And so let me just say, that's the invitation. There's no better treasure. There's no greater reward. There's no better life purpose than to know Jesus and to love the Father. And so for you, what is one step that you can take this week and during this series in that direction? There's one more place to look at in Scripture that kind of seals this for us. It's in Colossians 1. I have it on the screen, and I think I want to use it just as a prayer to close. So you can look at it, and then I'm going to read it and then pray it for us. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, that's Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God, listen to this, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Let me pray for us as we begin this journey of looking at Jesus and loving the Father. Jesus, we begin declaring you again to be the Supreme One, the head of this church, the beginning and the end. And we thank you that you put a face on what it looks like to be one with the Father. Thank you for that. We pray that you would clear away any of the distractions for us, the false loves, the sin that entangles us. Would you set that aside? Give us a hunger and a thirst to know you fully and to know you well. Lord, get us into Scripture, and would you get Scripture into us? We pray, Spirit of God, that you would point the way to Jesus as Jesus reveals the Father. Would you show us what it means to know you and love you more? Would we be changed people at the end of this for that reason? I ask this in your holy name. Amen.